Hello and welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
Before we get started, I wanted to let everyone know that Clayton and I wrote a book. Practical Test-Driven Development with C# 7 is now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. This week, we're talking about learning a new programming language. That could be a new language, library, or technology.
Some people have said in the past that you should learn a new programming language every year. What do you guys think about that?
I would say it's a good goal to have. I've tried to approach that in that that's a good attempt. But this year I'm doing something a little differently, that I'm actually trying to go a little bit more deep in a specific language and getting back to .NET and specifically .NET Core.
So you're trying to expand your knowledge of just the one language this year?
Yeah. So in previous years, I've kind of searched out and sought to broaden my horizons and learn a variety of different languages, different techniques. But with all of the latest advancements with .NET Core and C# 7 and Entity Framework Core, there's all kinds of stuff that I feel like I could learn and could know better related to .NET Core.
Like .NET Core is a new framework or library, and that's what you're picking up instead of picking up a new language.
Right. Yeah. And in the past few years, I've continued to explore .NET Core with a variety of other languages and frameworks. It's just this year I'm focusing primarily on that deep dive into .NET Core. What about you, Ash?
I mean, I am definitely a huge proponent for learning. And I think it does make sense to be pushing yourself all the time. And I think focusing on trying to learn something new, obviously, there's a lot of advancements that are always happening. The world's kind of changing all the time. And so it's just great for you to expand yourself and to be able to grow through looking into new languages, new libraries, new technologies. I think it's something that makes sense. I think that you certainly can go, there's a need to go in depth in certain languages or in libraries. And if you're always going kind of breadth and learning something, you can miss out on the depth. But that's why I think that maybe learning one per year is a good amount, because it gives you the opportunity and the time scale to actually delve deep into the topic at hand.
Yeah, and maybe it depends on your role as well. I was recently speaking to a developer evangelist for another company, and he said that for his particular role, he's doing a lot of quick one-off proof of concept applications and doesn't get the opportunity to do the deep dives in some of the languages that he's interested in or some of the frameworks that he's playing with.
So he would be looking then to look at into a more of a deep dive personally. Is that kind of what you're saying, is like, since you don't have the opportunity in your job, or your job isn't presenting that opportunity, go ahead and flip it and take on the personal deep dive. Was that what you're saying?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on what your goal is. If it's a personal goal for personal advancement or just a personal gain in knowledge, and you don't have that opportunity in your daily position, maybe that is one consideration you might take. If your goal is to become better and more proficient at your job, And it makes sense to go for breadth as opposed to focusing on core technologies, then maybe that's the direction you might choose.
So, I mean, it seems like we're kind of hovering around the same topic. We're all in agreement that this is a good thing, but can we kind of spell out why one would even bother specifically? And why, you know, what are all the benefits to actually learning a new technology, new language?
For some of us, we might be forced to. For instance, I work mostly in JavaScript, so I have no choice but to learn a lot of stuff all the time. It's been, I guess, 2 years I've been learning the new Angular framework, Angular 2, 3, 4, 5, it'll be 6 soon.
I think they're also part of the topics of why you should bother, right? Like, they're all arguments on why it's a beneficial thing. when you're talking about like keeping a cursory knowledge of new things, and so that you can focus on becoming expert in a specific language or a specific technology, that is a huge benefit to continuing that learning process. I think that, so you're looking at like marketability of your own skills. You also are, you know, learning new things keeps you proficient at solving those problems, keeps you proficient at looking at a new perspective, looking at problems, existing problems from a different perspective, different ideas. It keeps you current to whatever new technologies that are. And so other people may be solving problems that you're having to deal with on a daily basis. And if you're learning and you're continuing to learn and you're opening up your breadth of the resources that you have to work with, whether that's a depth of technology or a breadth of different technologies, you will be able to come up with a better solution. And so, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why keeping and continuing that learning process is a really good thing.
Well, at the same time, though, a lot of people would say that the key to a higher salary is specialization, which would not include necessarily learning new stuff. It would be getting better at the stuff that you already know.
Yeah, I think there's a balancing act with that as well. I mean, you're going to learn new skills. You're going to learn new programming paradigms if you're exposed to different languages and technologies and frameworks. Those new skills and new knowledge can be translated rather easily to your core competency. That'll often help you if you become stuck on a particular problem, or you're always kind of developing the same types of applications. Maybe you can explore the paradigms from different technologies and different languages and approach a problem differently in ways that maybe you wouldn't have in previous years.
Clayton, to talk about your point about the person who says, well, I need to be focused on going deep into one technology. I need to be focused on, well, what technology do we work with that isn't continuously evolving and changing? All of them are continuously evolving and changing. And so if we're talking about learning the new things of those technologies and the new frameworks, the new libraries, even within a specific language set, in order to be focused, in order to be proficient and hyper focused in that area, you have to be learning.
You're saying it's less about it being a new language or a new library or a new technology. It's more about the continuous learning experience / process.
I think that is definitely the case, but I think that there is a case to be made also for looking at breadth. And I think John Calloway just kind of pointed that out, right? When you learn and you look at other paradigms, when you look at other languages that have different nuances and solve problems in different ways, different kind of points of view and perspectives, you can go ahead and learn from that point of view, learn from that perspective, and bring that information, that ideas back to your own paradigm.
Technology is moving pretty fast these days. Since we hit the record button a few minutes ago, there have been 8 new JavaScript libraries come out. 5 libraries have been deprecated and 2 libraries were abandoned. You know, there's always a word of caution there to not be too specialized, or at least don't put on the blinders and ignore the rest of the world. Be aware of what's happening around you. Unless you are wanting to be that expert in that language and be the go-to person in the industry for a particular language or framework, I would argue that it would probably behoove you to at least have some exposure, some knowledge of other languages and technologies.
So let's say you've convinced me. So now I want to go learn a new language or a new library or a new technology. How do I choose the thing to go and learn?
Well, I think we started to touch on it earlier that it really depends on what your goal is. Is it purely for your own growth as a developer? Is it for your growth in your current position, your current role with your company? So maybe start there and determine what exactly is your goal for learning a new language.
All right. So let's think about the different available goals, right? So there's the value that the language or technology will bring to some company. There's the demand, right? So there's more jobs for certain languages in certain areas. And then there's things that are just fun. Like a lot of the Rubyists say that they switched to Ruby, not necessarily because of the jobs, but because it was an enjoyable language to program in. So how would we approach those? Like where would you go to look, let's say, for a language or framework or library, whatever, that was going to be profitable in your area.
My first stop would be to check out the meetups in the area, the user groups, and determine what are the active languages in my area, figure out what is of interest to me. So I probably don't want to pick up something that I have no interest in at the outset. These days, I found myself to be fairly marketable with the skills that I have. So maybe I want to focus on something that's a little bit more fun.
Another thing to look for is languages that are not kind of following your normal paradigm. So if you're normally object-oriented, you know, looking for something that's doing something functional to kind of say, okay, let's push me out of my comfort zone and help try to think about problems differently. But I think ultimately, I think the meetups are a really great place as far as like looking and finding out contents, blog posts and podcasts, finding sources where people in the industry are talking about these different items, you know, definitely can bring ideas. And then you just kind of have to evaluate, where do these things fall on my priorities? And hopefully you can find something that kind of checks a few boxes. So it's not just for business value. It's not just for making yourself more marketable. You're actually finding that it's fun as well.
I would also say following technologists on Twitter. My Twitter feed is full of people exclaiming that they're trying the latest new thing and they just discovered a new framework or a new paradigm, or inviting users to contribute to open source projects on GitHub. There's all kinds of opportunities to get involved and to learn about the latest and greatest.
You've convinced me to choose another language or library, technology, and I just found the best thing. But how do I actually get started?
So specifically with languages, I have found that there are some core structures in every language that I've ever encountered. And it's pretty easy. Once you know a language, it's easy enough to find those structures in a different language and immediately be able to write some kind of application. It may not be the best application in the world, but you can at least write something. Those structures kind of start with logical statements. So like an if statement. In Ruby, there's an unless statement, which is kind of like the opposite of an if. And then you move on to looping statements. So there's like for, while, until, do. I think one language that I learned had loop as the name of the looping statement. Dead giveaway. And then you can do assignment statements. So you might say var, like in C#, or you might actually have to define the variable while you're declaring it. There's tons of different ways to assign stuff. So that will be very particular to your language. And then there's block statements. Usually there's a block around like logical statements and there's a block around the looping statements. But I'm talking about functions or classes or whatever the structural makeup of the programming language is supposed to be. Learning those four things will get you a really, really quick jump start on any language. Like in an hour, you could be programming something.
A few years ago, we were interviewing a candidate for a position that didn't have the expertise or didn't have exposure to the technologies that we were working in. We asked him, how do you go about learning new technologies? He said, well, you know, I'm not too concerned. I pick up new languages fairly easily because I know how to program. Clayton, to your point, most of programming these days are constructs of these basic patterns. Many years ago, I took a contract position doing PHP with absolutely no experience with PHP. I had a new application in production in about 2 weeks and another one following up a couple of months later that was quite a bit larger. Similarly, I took a position doing Knockout with no Knockout experience. Position after that was with Angular 1.5 with no Angular experience. Recently, took a position doing React with no React experience. You know, all those are libraries and frameworks built on top of JavaScript.
Like I said, or I have said in the past, I work primarily in JavaScript, so it's almost impossible to have any real experience time in whatever language or whatever framework. Well, I guess technically language too, because there's about 4 or 5 different mainstream JavaScript sub-languages that people use. If you're doing Angular, you're probably using TypeScript. If you're using React, then you're probably doing the latest ECMAScript, which is the official JavaScript. But if you're doing Ruby, you might be doing CoffeeScript, which is another version of JavaScript. Even if you're just doing JavaScript, you still might need to know 3 or 4 different languages and 6 or 7 different frameworks. And it's pretty much impossible to know all of that. Being able to break a language or a framework down into these base structures is extremely valuable. And if you can do that, then you can pick up anything in a really short amount of time.
I think also, when it comes to learning new languages, for me, one of the things I have to do is I have to have some sort of project or come up with something that I can actually do more than just like Hello World or following a tutorial online. Those are really great ways of getting information. Tutorials online, I mean, there's things like Pluralsight and tons of other video learning platforms out there. You know, those are great, excellent books. There's tons of great ways to get the information that you need. For me, I kind of like to try to come up with kind of a non-trivial program or, you know, project and tackle it with this new technology, new framework, whatever I'm learning.
So not a to-do app?
Yes. Actually, but yeah, well, I mean, the more you can make it also useful to yourself. I mean, so if you find yourself needing a to-do app, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. You know, for years, right after Signal R came out, I was a person with a solution in search of a problem. You know, I wanted to find something to implement Signal R with things coming out these days, like the Blazor project from Steve Sanderson. I mean, that even though that's in the experimental phase, that's something that, you know, I really would like to play around with. Like you, Ash, I would struggle to find a reason to use it first and then go about playing with it and learning the ins and outs.
I think the other cool thing you can do is you can write it for demoing or teaching the framework or the application. So sometimes this is the application may be a little less than trivial, but if you write it, say, to like give to a users group talk or write it to give to, you know, try to do a lightning. People do lightning talks all the time. Your company might even do them. Lunch and learns at your company, lunch and learns that, you know, there's a ton of different opportunities available for you to, you know, blog posts and that sort of thing, where you can write the demo app, write it in such a way that it's a utility for you to kind of instruct. And one of the best ways to learn anything is actually to try and teach it. Because when you try to express in your own words something you've learned, it really causes you and forces you to internalize it, the information, all the more. And that's another really great way to like take it to the next level.
If you can't find or think of a project that you could do to explore a new technology, there are plenty of examples on the internet. Microsoft has been kicking around a music store kind of app in one shape or another for, 17 years or something. And they've also got a, what is it, John? Is it AdventureWorks?
I haven't seen AdventureWorks in a while, but yeah, Contoso is another one.
Yeah, and those are just Microsoft examples. There's other examples from other companies and other libraries and frameworks and languages. But if you understood the details of just one of those types of projects, then you could take that and try to recreate it in any platform that you wanted to explore.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I've got two or three different side projects that never really materialized anything, but they are kind of a project, a problem to solve with a new set of skills, with a new set of technologies.
To summarize, we all believe that learning a new language or technology or library, at least one every year, is a good thing. And this applies both in breadth and in depth. And that this actually will improve your ability to kind of program in the native languages that you're working on, the native paradigms that you kind of utilize every single day. It can help you become more focused, but also it can give you a broader marketability, maybe improve your ability to kind of seek different careers. And that the best way to go about this is to kind of look on the internet, follow podcasts, go to meetups, and find something that really kind of meets the goals that you're looking for and jump in, do a project with it, and have a good time.
Be sure to join our mailing list on sixfiguredev.com.
And follow us on Twitter at sixfiguredev.
This has been the Six Figure Developer Podcast. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.